This morning is Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 25. And if you will turn there with me, please give careful attention now as we hear God's very word. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Thus ends the reading of God's very word. Let's pray. O Lord, as your little children, we beg that you would come now, Lord Jesus, and be the good shepherd. And that, Lord, you would teach us how to view and experience suffering as a Christian. And that you would revive our hearts to have hope in you, Christian hope, even in the face of suffering. Until that day that you take us home to glory. In Jesus we pray. Amen. This passage of Scripture is incredibly important. Now, all of God's Word is important, but this passage of Scripture touches on aspect of life that is very, very real and very, very common. And it is how to suffer as a Christian. Now, this is one of the most encouraging passages in all of Scripture when we think about suffering. And you might think, that's kind of a weird thing for you to say, that a passage about suffering is encouraging. Well, as we look at this, I think by the end you'll say, amen, he was right. This is an incredibly encouraging passage of Scripture. There are three things that I would draw your attention to in this passage about suffering as a Christian. And the first is that for the child of God who is trusting in Jesus, suffering is temporary. I'm going to say it again. For one who is trusting in Jesus, this passage of Scripture teaches us that suffering is temporary. Look at verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. This verse 18 tells us that as we live this side of heaven in a fallen world, we will suffer. And this suffering that we experience, due to Adam's rebellion against God. The beauty of the creation, the gifts of life are all marred and spoiled because of sin. And suffering is because of that rebellion that took place in the Garden of Eden that is recorded for us in Genesis chapter 3. Not only do we have just a fallen world, but we ourselves are fallen in Adam. And the message of the Bible is that God, in the fullness of time, gave His Son to come and rescue us. Rescue His lost sheep. And He has called us who are trusting in Jesus out of darkness into His marvelous light to repent and believe in Jesus and keep repenting and keep believing, keep holding fast to Jesus. Jesus is our life. And we have seen in the book of Romans that salvation begins to be experienced as God grants to us a heart to repent and believe in Jesus. And the tool that God uses to work faith in our hearts is the Word of God, the truth of the gospel. And then not only are we justified the second we believe in Jesus, but God adopts us. Legally, we are His children, and God is sanctifying us. He is growing us, and all of that will come to a completion when He glorifies us, when He takes us to heaven. This passage tells us that because of the fall, because of sin, because we just live in a messed up world, because of our own sin, our own actual sins, and other people's sins, there's a lot of sorrow and trouble and heartache in this world. It's just hard to live. Now, it's, praise God, not hard all the time. Electricity has been restored. That was compared to what so many have suffered. It's really a minor inconvenience. Now, it was an inconvenience, no doubt about it. And you maybe suffered the loss of all of the goodies in your refrigerator and freezer, yes. But that minor suffering is nothing compared to people losing loved ones. People losing their home, losing their whole town. There's not even a road in places that they can drive back. Suffering is temporary. And for the child of God, this suffering that is temporary will give way to glory, to the bliss of heaven. Now, we looked at that briefly, and the culmination of that is described for us over in the book of Revelation. Now, I want you to turn back with me, and even though these verses are very familiar, I want you to just see, here is the glory that awaits every child of God. In verse 3 of Revelation 21, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them as their God." All through the Old Testament, God had revealed more and more of His glory, that He would be a God to His people, and they would belong to Him, and He would live in their midst. And the focal point of all of that wondrous work that God was doing was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, where we have the Shekinah glory, the cloud of God's glory, descend upon the temple. That pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night, a symbol of God's very presence. And in the book of 1 Samuel, when the people rebel against the Lord, one of the horrifying things that is recorded for us, the daughter-in-law of Eli, when she gives birth to this little boy, she is dying, and the judgment of God is being poured out upon them. She names this little boy Ichabod. The glory has departed. But here we see a picture now where perfect peace and harmony will be restored and experienced by the children of God in the bliss of heaven, in God's very presence forever and ever. And so the first thing that we see in Romans chapter 8 is referring that this suffering is temporary for the child of God. This suffering is temporary for the Christian, for one who has true saving faith in Jesus, who's really holding on to Jesus. Suffering is temporary. And here's what awaits each one of us by the grace of God if we are holding to Jesus. Verse 4 of Revelation 21, He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. A day is coming when all of the experience of the sufferings of living in a fallen world, of the lies of Satan being heard and embraced and acted upon, the broken lives, the broken relationships, sickness culminating in physical death, all of that will be gone forever and ever. Suffering for the Christian is temporary. Now that's a great encouragement. When I was a little boy, my family many times would go to one of the parks on the Blue Ridge Parkway, and there were hiking trails that you could go on. And one of the hiking trails was the hike to Gully Creek, okay? And it was a hike. The first half of it was really fun because you got to walk downhill the whole way. I mean, you know, easy peasy. You go down, beautiful forest. You enjoyed, you could hear the birds chirping. And at the bottom of this ravine, going off the edge of the Blue Ridge Mountains, you would see a creek. And it was called Gully Creek. And you would hike along this beautiful creek. There were waterfalls, and it was just cool and refreshing, the canopy of trees covering you. And then the tough part began, because finally the trail would start going up. Up, 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 up. I mean, it just seemed like it would never end. And you'd get tireder and tireder. I have three younger sisters, and I'll never forget my dad would speak to these younger sisters. You know, I was Daniel Boone blazing the trail, up the trail. And these younger sisters, particularly the youngest one, she would just be moaning and, you know, despairing. Despairing of life. Daddy, I can't go anymore. I'm too tired. And he would pick her up and carry her for a while, and then he would put her back down, and she'd go for a little while, and then, "Daddy, I can't go anymore. I'm not going to make it. How much further is it?" And he would say, "We're almost there. Keep going." And there was a sign that would tell you that if you turned off the path, you could go up higher on a overlook. And if you went to the right, there was the bathroom shelter. And that meant you didn't have to go up anymore. We looked for that sign. And he would say, "Is that the sign right around that corner?" And, oh, those little sisters of mine, they go, "Oh, I think it is." And, boy, they would just race toward the next curve. And they'd go, "No, it's not." And he'd say, "Well, maybe it's the next curve." And that would just keep us going. Curve after curve. But finally, we would get there. Now, that's what this text in Romans chapter 8 is telling us, that suffering for the Christian is temporary. And yes, at times it is hard, it is brutal, it is grueling, but it is temporary for the Christian. Now, I must say, and we're not going to dwell upon this, but for a person who's apart from Jesus, the sufferings of this life are just the beginning of suffering. Think about it. As hard as life can be, sometimes people say, "I'm going through hell." You ever heard somebody say that? And I used to go, "What do I say to that?" And the truth is, yes, it may be a taste, but you're not going through hell. No matter how horribly you suffer in this life, you are not in hell. And if you belong to Jesus, you never will be. But if you don't, turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. Here's what the Lord Jesus said is going to happen on that great day. Verse 31, "When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will place the sheep on His right, but the goats on the left. And then the King will say to those on His right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" And then He brings forth the evidence on that great day of whether they had a true, lively faith in Jesus or whether it was just empty words that really didn't have any substance to it. Those who have true faith in Jesus in this life, there will be fruit that accompanies that faith in Jesus. And notice, in verse 41, He turns to those who are apart from Him. "Then He will say to those on His left, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels.'" Eternal. There are some people who say, "Well, hell's not eternal." Well, I want you to look down at the end of this passage, verse 46. "And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into" what? eternal life. Same word, eternal punishment or eternal life. And for the Christian, the sufferings of this present time are temporary. And they will give way and be replaced with the experience of glory, of Jesus Himself wiping the tears from our eyes. What a picture. You know, you have a bike accident and you're pretty scraped up and you're crying. And oh, what a comfort when your mama wipes the tears from your eyes. Well, that's just a little glimpse, because she couldn't take away the hurt, could she? I mean, she could put salve on the wounds, but I mean, she couldn't take away the wound. There needed to be healing, but this glorious God who has given His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, when He wipes the tears from our eyes, He makes everything restored perfectly for us to enjoy the fellowship with God forever and ever. And so our text in Romans chapter 8, suffering for the Christian is temporary. For the devil and those fallen angels that followed him, they will end up in the lake that burns with fire forever and ever. And those who are apart from Jesus, that's where they will be forever and ever. That is how bad sin is. And the only one who can deliver us from sin and its consequences is Jesus. And He offers forgiveness and life this day. And if you are listening this day, whether on the internet or even here, I can remember growing up in a Christian home. And I had made a profession of faith, but I don't think I was a Christian until I was in high school. I had heard the gospel so many times, and I could quote so many Bible verses, but I did not love Jesus from the heart until I experienced that amazing work of God Almighty. And I saw, I am a sinner, and I am not right with God, and the only one who can make me right is Jesus. And once I experienced that, wild horses, nothing could keep me from Jesus. Satan's lies, he would come and lie to me, and he would say, Henry, you are too bad. First he lied and said, you don't need this Jesus stuff. And I listened to that lie for a long time, and then I came to the place where I said, you know, I do need Jesus, because I know there is a God who made me, and I know I'm not right with Him. I have broken His holy commandments. I have not obeyed and honored my mama and daddy. I have had anger in my heart against other people. I have had impure thoughts in my heart. I have broken all of Your holy commandments, O living God. I have taken things that weren't mine. I cheated on tests. That's a breaking of the eighth commandment. If you look on somebody else's paper or sneak a peek in the teacher's key, that's stealing. I am a sinner. And I came to see, I will have no leg to stand on before Almighty God. I've told lies. I have not been content with what God has given me and the gifts He has given me. I was not content. I was a sinner. But then Satan would come and lie and say, well, Henry, you're too bad. There's no hope for people like you. You might as well just give yourself to just enjoy a life best you can and forget this Jesus stuff, because you think he would have anything to do with a rascal like you? And the gospel of Jesus, oh, it is so amazing and so sweet. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. And so I finally got to the point where I thought, well, if I have to turn my back on the world and I can't enjoy all of the wicked things, so be it. But I've got to have peace with God. And I literally thought I was so foolish. I thought, well, I don't care if I never have fun again, but I got to have peace with God. And I cried out to Jesus for mercy. And an amazing thing happened. For the first time in my life, not only did I have peace with God, but I was able in Jesus to begin to enjoy all of the blessings and gifts that God gives to us. The sunshine looked different. Bananas tasted different. Everywhere I looked, I saw the goodness and kindness of God Almighty. And you see, if you're apart from Jesus, suffering, living in a fallen world, a messed up world, sickness, death, not only physically, but broken relationships, this is just the taste of what is in store. But for those who trust in Jesus, the sufferings of this present time, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. Now we're going to look at one final thing, and we're going to save the rest of this passage till next week. But I want you to look at the last half of verse 18. For I consider, I reckon, it's a mathematical term. We've seen it before, that God calls upon us to consider, to add it all up. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Not only does God teach us that sufferings for the Christian are temporary, but secondly, and lastly, he teaches us that sufferings for the Christian will be viewed as nothing compared to the glory that we experience when we get to heaven. And don't misunderstand me. This is not minimizing suffering. What God is saying to us is, as much as you may suffer, as hard as it may be, and if you're a young person, you're suffering, the ultimate suffering may be to read another history lesson. Or it may be to do another math problem. Or it may be to diagram English sentence. That may be the ultimate that at your stage of life, you think, now this is the pinnacle of sufferings for mankind. Or to do a chore that your mama or daddy gives you to do. The pinnacle of my sufferings when I was very young was taking the trash out. And that was before the days of plastic bags. And either the box or paper bag that the trash was in usually would leak and get on my hands and my feet as I would be carrying the trash out. That may be the pinnacle of your suffering, or being asked to eat something that you don't like and it's put on your plate and you go, you mean I have to eat? You can fill in the blank, whatever you really don't. That may be what you're faced with, suffering. Or when your mama says, I want you to clean your room before you go out to play. That may be what your suffering is. As you get older, those definitions of suffering kind of change. It may be the loss of a friendship. It may be the uncertainty of life. It may be that a loved one is taken from you. It may be that you see a loved one die of some disease. It may be that a loved one is taken from you in death. It may be that you lose your possessions. It may be that you experience what millions of fellow Christians in our day and time are experiencing, even as we sit here in ease and comfort, to be seated in a prison. Or you're the one left at home and the thugs have come and arrested your mama and your daddy, and you haven't heard from them for months. And you don't even know if they're alive. God doesn't minimize those sufferings, but what he does say in this passage, look at verse 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. What this verse is telling us is that suffering for the Christian not only is temporary, but when we get to heaven, we will look back on all the things we've suffered and we will say, compared to the bliss and joy of being in the very presence of the living God, we will say, whew, that suffering was nothing. Now, it's hard for us to imagine that. As much as our hearts can hurt and ache, as much as we can experience just seemingly unbearable pain, this is not minimizing our suffering. What it is doing is maximizing the glory that awaits us. If you love Jesus, if you are clinging to Jesus, the day will come when Jesus will take us home to glory. And we'll look back on all that we've experienced and we'll go, man, that's nothing compared. Think with me, one of the most painful things you've ever experienced in your life. And the day will come, if you belong to Jesus, when you will be in the bliss of his presence. He will have wiped the tears from your eyes, and you will be leaping in his presence and joining your voice with the mighty throng praising the living God. And we think back over all that God has brought us through, and we'll say, well, that was nothing compared to the bliss and the joy and the comfort and the privilege that I have now to be in the presence of God Almighty. I told you that this passage that talks about suffering is really encouraging, isn't it? Do you love Jesus? Are you clinging to him? Oh, child of God, don't let go of Jesus. Hold fast to the Lamb who gave himself for us. Now, what we're going to see the rest of this passage, and this is what we're going to look at together, Lord willing, next week, is that this side of heaven, God calls us to have and exercise and grow in hope. And the kind of hope, as we will see next week, that a Christian has is not the kind of hope the world has. The kind of hope the world has is you're planning to go on a picnic. You get everything together. You've packed all the food up. And you look outside because you've heard a distant rumble. And you see these horrible black clouds heading your way. And what does the world kind of hope say? I sure hope it doesn't rain. And you feel a couple of drops and you go, oh, I hope it doesn't rain. But the Christian, the kind of hope we have is confidence in Jesus. Confidence that all that He is and has promised us, He will give us. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Do you have suffering? Well, if you're a Christian, be encouraged. It's temporary, and the day will come when we will look back on it and say, compared to the bliss of being in God's presence in His glorious heaven, that suffering was nothing. Press on, Christian. And if you're apart from Christ, do not turn Him away, for He is offering you forgiveness and life. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy. And my burden is light. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Write it upon our hearts. That, Lord, we would live this side of heaven as your sons and daughters. That we would suffer as a Christian. And Lord, that you would encourage our hearts this day. And strengthen us for the rest of the battle. Lord God, we love you. We love each other because you have first loved us in your Son, the Lord Jesus. And Father, if there be any listening who are apart from you, awaken them, Lord, to repent and believe in you, to turn from trusting in themselves and holding on to the lures of this world, and that, Lord, they would run to you, Lord Jesus, and you would become their pearl of great price. In Jesus we pray. Amen.